The Italy the reference Leap Folian is for to alert folk to the ways that the Scots lead was fesh stone, with some cultural and political hornland comprehend it. Hinner Middle Scots, 1550 to 1700, Pert Twa. About 1600, the diary and other scrivens by Reverend James Melville describes the personal, political and religious affairs of the day in Scots. 1603, the earliest text of Philotas, the oldest Kent comedy in Scots. 1603, Jimmy VI becomes King of England and Ireland forby, and flits his court to England, where he starts to favour the melon of the cultures, grund on Southern customs and language, for the maist part. 1603, Sir William Alisander sets forth Darius, and makes the comment that the language of this poem is, as thou seest, mixed of the English and Scottish dialects, which perhaps may be unpleasant and irksome to some readers of both nations. He appeals to them both to a straighter union and conjunction as well in language as in other respects. 1604-7. Jimmy VI echoes at a political union between England and Scotland and tacks on the personal style Magnae Britanniae Rex, that's general meaning is King of the Hale Island of Britain. A puckle subjects even cause him imperial. Who and ever, mostly through the contrary Southern Parliament, the Italic Union fails, and England and Scotland bides as states apart. 1604, the Englishman Henry Savile, in his Historical Collections, compared the proposed union of England and Scotland with those between Castile and Portingal in 1580, when the threat was that any documents anent Portingal was to be written in the Portugal tongue, differing only in dialect from the Castilian as ours and the Scottish. He said that England and Scotland, both nations using one almost the same dialect, to wit, the Saxon language. And the Scots and North people of England speak more incorruptly than the South, which, by reason of the conquest and greater commerce with foreign nations, is become more mingled and degenerate from the ancient tongue, as will easily appear to him that shall compare the two dialects with the German, mother of them both. 1604, Sir Thomas Craig in his Latin De Union Regnorum Britanniae Tractus had the Folian to say in ant language. In connection with the present union, it is unnecessary to discuss identity of language, seeing that both peoples use the same speech, populus idem lingua. Though, if our neighbours will allow me to say so, the Scottish vernacular, nostra hodie vernacula lingua, is more akin to Old English, veteris Anglicae linguae, than is the language spoken in England today. For the English, admitting new words from neighbouring languages, Latin, French and Italian, with the object of strengthening it, have corrupted their own. And in Orkney and Shetland, Craig said, where in the course of this very century nothing but Norse was spoken, the ministers of God's words now use English in church and are well enough understood. 1604, the Southern version of Robert Pont's tract of the Union of Britain says of the Ingalls that their tongue is now growing familiar and natural, not only to the chief parts of Scotland, but even to the Orcades and the Isles of Yetland or Thule, a comment that assumed that all speech sprung for the Old Angles lead was in the Ocht of the Ingalls. 1604, Englishman Sir Francis Bacon addressed Jimmy the Saxt and Threepit that the proposed union would meld the tongues. He said, both of your Majesty's kingdoms are of one language, though of several dialects, and the difference is so small between them, as promiseth rather an enriching of one language than a continuance of the two. Further he said, but yet the dialect is differing, and it remaineth a kind of mark of distinction. For the rest, it is rather to be accounted, as was said, a diversity of dialect than of language. And it is like to bring forth the enriching of one language by compounding and taking in the proper and significant words of either tongue, rather than a continuance of two languages. 1604, letter for the Lord Mayor or Provost of London to the Privy Council of England, informing them that Scots Sir George Kerr Gidu articles written in Scottish to Englishman Richard Holmhead, which he had much ado to understand, and so for his better information he put them into English. 1605, King Jamie the Sixth complains to Robert Cecil that his published work has been footed away. It was first marred in the orthography by Geddes copying it. It is very rude Scottish spelling. And next it was copied by Sir Peter Young's son, who pressing to English it, hath marred it quite and made it neither. Signed Sir Thomas Lake, write to Cecil for by. The language His Majesty doth also excuse, being neither good Scottish nor English, but lays that to the transcriber's fault. 1606, publication of Amorous Songs, Sonnets and Elegies by Alexander Craig, that apologises to the reader in using the Scottish and English dialects, the one as innated I cannot forget, the other as a stranger I cannot upon the sudden acquire. 1607, the hindmost document written in a Scandinavian tongue in Shetland, in this case Dens, is a quittance by Whelan Manson to Soren Spence for Gids coughed by Manson. 1607, preacher John Welsh wrote for Bordeaux, France to Robert Boyd of Trochrig at Samur and at the Scots community at Bordeaux. I would desire you to write to Monsieur Plessy thereanent that liberty frae the king may be purchased to preach in the Scottish or English tongue to them that comes to this place. 1609, Protestant Scots nobles and lairds as offered land in Ulster, conquest by the Inglescroon no lang afore. Their folk comes mostly from Westland Perts and speak Scots. They and the Ingle settlers is kent as planters. 1611, Old Norse law is abolished in Orkney and Shetland, and Scots law broached in instead. 1611, Englishman Lord Thomas Howard wrote to Sir John Harrington, anent King Jamie's favourite Robert Kerr, that the king teacheth him Latin every morning, and I think someone should teach him English too, for, as he is a Scottish lad, he hath much need of better language. About 1615, an English visitor to the Orkneys commented, 'Tis nothing strange to hear them in the churches leave their text and rail in person against this or that man, and speak plain Scots words against those who sit in their stool of repentance. 1615, Flensburg skipper Cornelius Jonsson asked Scots merchants Willem Ferney and Dovet Ramsay in Sweden to draw up his contract with Edinburgh merchants John Weir and Thomas Ingalls in the Skotskasprak, or Scots Lead, that sign was produced in court at Stockholm. 1616, Act to the Privy Council for Establishing Skills in the Highlands, that the vulgar English tongue be universally planted, and the Irish language may be abolish it and remove it. 1617, Henry Erskine wrote back home to the Earl of Mar, that while in Bourges, France, we could not have learned the French in respect of the great number of Scotsmen that is there for the present, for we meet every day together at our exercises, so that it was impossible to us not to speak Scots. 1621, the moral fables of Aesop in Scottish verse, by 15th century maker Robert Henryson, is set forth at Embra. 1623, Scots envoy James Spence wrote for Hamburg, Germany to Swedish Chancellor Axel Oxenstierna in Scots, eken that he couldn't find a body to put it in Latin at the time. In 1624, Spens referred to writing to the Chancellor in Scotico Sermone. 1624, petitioned by the planters of the Scots nation in Ireland, that there were naebdy but ae auld clerk serving the kingly council of Ireland, and that Hornland was held up for especially Scotchmen whose petitions being written in the Scotch hand are either not read or understood. 1625 to 1649, ring of King Charles I, that is, strictly speaking, the hindmost ruler to speak Scots. 1626, Habakkuk Bissett, writer to the Signet and servitor to Sir John Skene, finishes his legal work, Rolement of Courts, described as containing the oldest laws, acts, statutes, constitutions, monuments and antiquities of the maist ancient realm of Scotland as ane free kingdom. In his Innentilt, Bissett states, I have written reverently and sparingly, using my own maternal Scots language, or mother tongue as we call it. 1627, Sir Thomas Kelly's publication Pallas Armata comprehends tables making compare Ingalls to Scots vocabulary. 1627, the curriculum at George Heriot's Hospital in Embra comprehends the provision to learn the scholars to read and write Scots distinctly. 1628, for to steer scholars to learn Latin better, the Borough Council at Embra enacted that students gone to the university should speak Latin and that nane be fun speaking Scots. 1630s, Norowa-born Karen Mowat, daughter of Scott Andra Mowat, that bade in Birren, was stated to have spoken Scotsk, and that her scravit better of Scotsk in Norsk, or she rate better Scots nor Norn. In the same period, the diary of Robert Munro speaks of Daniel Sinclair, that was reared in Norowa and was maester shipbigger to King Christian the IV, and that Sinclair speaks the Scottish tongue. 1630, the Privy Council states that England and Scotland whilks are twa free and distinct estates and kingdoms, and should be differenced by their particular names, and no confounded under the name of Great Britain. Sign orders that the kingly title be changed to King of Scotland, England, France and Ireland, and that the style Great Britain drap it, because there were nae sic state. 1631, a Relation of the Empire and State of Russia, written by Captain Thomas Chamberlain, a Southron that had served as a soldier in Russia, compared the Sibness of Poland and Russia with the Sibness of Scotland and England, and said that the Polish lead is not so much more divided in language than the English and the Scots is. 1633, Captain John Smith, after biding a year in Shetland, wrote a Description of the Island of Shetland, stating that the chief inhabitants of the island are Scots. The meaner or inferior sort are a mixed people of Danes and Scots. 1633, Dovet Hume of Godscroft's The History of the House of Douglas declares in the foreword, for the language, it is my mother tongue, that is, Scottish, and why not to Scottish men? The language itself is Englified with Ilk New Utgu Utgi of the book. 1634, Southron scriver Sir William Brereton sets forth his book Travels in Holland, the United Provinces, England, Scotland and Ireland. Anent the speech in Scotland, he had the following to say. We call here a clock a knock, a watch a munter, a dial an orlig, a band an hourlier. For slight, hoch, a shop, a booth or booth, in many words, as chest, shawl, etc., here it is not H pronounced. A cap, a much, if it be linen, a bonnet if it be woolen or leather, a man's coat, a jupe or dupe. And generally they pronounce O-W-U as town toon. And that's which we spell in England with O-U, but pronounce as if it were oo, as in the word enough. They call it anuch, changing it into U-I. Or A, that we in England pronounce as they do A, i.e. as if it were A-E. They in Scotland pronounce it as if it were A-O, and in some words, A-I. So that concerning their accent, no few general prescripts will give any satisfaction, but only experience and use acquired by cohabitation among themselves. They have many words in the country that citizens understand not. But if all the properties of language were concurrent there, as well as significancy and pathetic speeches and innumerable proverbs and bywords, they might compare with any people in the world. 1637, Dovot Cawdorwod louses out on Chero's first new prayer book and psalms in his Reasons Against the Public Use of This New Metaphrase of the Psalms, and cites the use of Southron words and saws that Scots speakers didn't ken. He said, "The people must be first taught to understand these and the like French, Latin and hard English terms and harsh phrases. Their own metaphrase hath none but such may be understood. But to bring in a number of words which have need of a dictionary in the end of the metaphrase is to make worse and no better." Among the words leta is unkent to Scots speakers is regal, opposites, various, gratefully, divulge, exorbitant, impetuous, and emulate. 1639, Ingalls and Scots captains complained that their letters is being misread with the body that our sets at Helsingør, Denmark. So Jakob Grunwald is appointed for to our set all Ingalls, Erts and Scots letters for their leads into Dens. 1639, the Borough Council of Glasgow enacts, "For certain good considerations moving the Saids, Provost, Baileys and Council, it is statute and ordain it by them that nae may English schools be keep it or hodden within this broch hereafter, but four only, with ain writing school, and the maesters thereof to be admitted by this place and receive injunctions therefrae anent the place of their dwelling and others needful." 1639-46, the weirs of the covenant between King Charles I and them that upholds the Presbyterian Kirk. Scotland is shed between Covenanters and Kingsmen, and the Covenanter government makes a treaty of alliance with the Ingalls Parliament cried the Solemn League and Covenant. 1640-1700, written registers of the Scots Parliament, Privy Council and Sindri Borough Councils becomes more Englified in style, tacking on Ingalls spelling customs and vocabulary. This is uneven and drawn out, and sundry from place to place, with some Erts biding mere Scots than others. Private scrivens bides in Scots for ordner, but it's Englished for the print press. The publication of poetry and sang in Scots dwines awa', but will walk in yin's mare early on in the 18th century. Skillin that's known in Latin is cinderly called in Scots or in Ingalls or in the vulgar tongue. While classes is talk through the Scots lead with readings out of Ingalls text and Scots tune and idiom. 1640s, the Scots Jesuit Gilbert Blackhall, that acted as a gay atween for the French government and Catholics in the northeast, recorded that he ever set letters from French to Scots for sundry noble families. 1640, Deeth Elizabeth Melville, Lady Curus, you know, the first women scrivers a poem and sang in Scots, and Ken Speckle for her Ain Godly Dream for 1603. 1640, the Rosie Dundonald Grammar School in Ayrshire refers to reading Scottish whether print or writ. 1641, the publication of Scottish Proverbs, that's the earliest Kent gathering for Scotland. Their source was gathered by Dovet Ferguson, that died in 1598. 1642, publication in London of the Red Shank Sermon, taken for jottings at a sermon preached in St. Giles, Embra, by Maister James Rowe in 1638. A second version cried, "A cup of bone accord or preaching," was set forth about the same time in Scotland, and is Guy Scots in its language. Indeed, it was that for Ben folk that it gaed through a puckle prentons and was kent as the Pope Manty Sermon, because folk often read it while on their travels. Rowe refers in his sermon to Skillen in Latin and Scots. 1643, the Earls of the French ambassador to Scotland is recorded as he and being set over into Scots for use by the Privy Council. 1643, letter of Robert Buchan of Port Lethen to Axel Oxenstierna, Chancellor of Sweden, putting him in mind of the letter Buchan had written afore in Verbis Scoticus, a lang with a gift of 12 pearls. 1646, the Borough Council of Glasgow ordains the schoolmeisters of the Scots schools to be worn at to the next meeting of the council. 1649, the Borough Council of Kirkcudbright enacts that Maister John Laurie accepts and tax in and upon him the charge of ain schoolmeister within the said broch for learning, teaching and instructing of the bairns and youths, put and to be put to him for learning Scots, Latin, Greek, music and arithmetic, and shall instruct and teach the said scholars in the foresaid languages of Scots, Latin and Greek, and arts of music and arithmetic. 1649, the Borough Council of Peebles instructs the schoolmaster to give the bairns learning Scots, each of them, ain portion of psalms or catechism, and give in comp thereof upon Sunday.